Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon again with the Metaphysical Hour. And this is live tonight. This is May the 20th.
Yes, it is.
So if you're, if never he does the archives, we don't have a date. So we're starting to do that now so people will know when it's a live show.
And when it's Memorex.
Yeah, whenever it's archived anyway. Okay. But I'm going to give out the toll-free number in case anyone wants to call in tonight and ask questions. And I would appreciate it if you do call in to ask questions about what we're talking about for the guest. We're going to have a guest tonight, and to make it on that subject if you do decide to call in. And callers are always welcome. So the toll-free number is 1-888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. And our guest tonight is one of our authors. It's Anita Holmes. And she's talking to us from Alaska. Are you there, Anita?
I am.
Okay. Is it cold up there?
It has been cold up here. This winter it got to 55 degrees below zero, but right now it's beautiful and sunny. And the green leaves are just starting to come out on the trees, so it's a very good sign.
Well, I was thinking 55 below zero. I said, oh, that would freeze my little toe if I even stepped out the door.
It's wretched.
Does that have something to do with your moving?
Yes, it does, indeed.
Because that's what I was thinking. Now, Anita Holmes is going to be one of our speakers at our conference. And I knew she was in Alaska, and then the next thing we heard, she said, get my flight from either Missouri or Omaha. So I didn't know if that was a vacation or if it's going to be permanent.
It is. I have two more teaching days up here, and next Wednesday we are moving to Missouri.
This Wednesday?
Yes, next Wednesday.
Like the day after your school is over, you leave.
Exactly. So
whoa.
Guess what we're doing tomorrow?
Oh, my goodness.
You're going to get out of Dodge.
Pressure.
You're going to get out of Dodge as fast as you can, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Well, here, the trees are all out, and it's beautiful, and it's been in the 70s, so it's going to be a shock to your system.
Oh, that sounds lovely, though.
Yeah, you can come and thaw out.
And we have four seasons here, so we never get that cold.
Oh, that just sounds heavenly.
Well, I wanted to tell everyone, they probably know we're having our conference. It's the sixth Transformation Conference, our sixth year of doing it, and that is June the 10th through the 12th,
right.
Three-day conference. And we've been having our speakers, who are also our authors, are the ones we've been interviewing. We'll continue to do that until the conference.
Right.
So Anita is one of our authors. And she's written a really interesting and fun book. It's called Twitters. And when I first saw the title of that book, Anita, of course I was thinking of the Internet, Twitter.
Oh, yes.
And you probably heard that, too. People that think that's what it has to do with.
I know. It's actually spelled with T's instead
right.
of D's,
no.
as in dog.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but as soon as I coined this phrase, I thought, oh, I wonder if people are going to have trouble with it. But it just seemed the right phrase.
Yeah.
But whenever I saw it, that's what I thought it was. But it is spelled different.
Yes.
And it is a totally different subject and thing than from the Internet.
Boy, is it ever.
It's T-W-I-D-D-E-R-S.
It is.
But yeah, I'm going to let you explain what that means. But first, Anita, let's tell us to everybody about yourself. Now, you're a teacher. That's why you've been up there, isn't it?
It is. I'm a teacher. I'm dually certified in regular education and special education, but I've specialized in special education, dealing with everything from violent children to children with severely cognitive impairments, and I've loved every second of it. But I am in my 60s now and getting pretty arthritic, and so it's time for me to shift gears and slow down a little, although I have absolutely loved every moment in teaching. Uh-huh. And I'm definitely too old to go through any more winters with 55 degree below zero temperatures.
Oh, my gosh. the warmth is going to feel so nice.
How long have you been up there in Alaska?
I've been up here for 10 years. The first year I caught out in the bush.
Enough. I was only there one time, and when I was there in September, they said they were losing 5 minutes of daylight every day.
Yes.
So, you know, it's a whole different. My buddy kept saying something's not right the whole time I was up there.
Oh, it varies anywhere from 5 to 7 minutes a day we lose. Now we're up to about 21 hours of daylight, and by the middle of June, it will be 24/7 daylight.
Wow.
So that's the trade-off.
Yeah, Julie said that messes with you too, doesn't it?
You know, it's funny. It doesn't. For some people, they will black out windows at night, but for other people, they just go with it. Alaskans pay an 8-month-long price for a horrendous winter for 3.5 months of summer, and they try not to miss a second of it. So people will be picking blueberries at 3 a.m. in the morning and then going home at 10 a.m.
Well, that would be the way to do it if you had to do it.
Because your body doesn't
embrace the summer up here.
Yeah, they said your body doesn't know what's going on because you don't know when to go to bed. And it's the same in the winter when it's nighttime all the time.
Right. And we spend a lot of time actually in bed in the winter or curled up in the living room.
If it's
so
that
dark.
Cold, I think you would have to stay inside all winter.
Yes. Yes.
Well, it's going to be a really nice surprise when you get down here because we have beautiful weather down here. I mean, beautiful seasons. Sometimes, you know, we've had all this rain and tornadoes and all of that, but it's different than up there. And up down here, you're not going to have the moose looking in your window either.
We had a moose and her child right by our mailbox last week, so that's good to hear.
Okay. Well, Anita, let's tell people about you. We do know you're a teacher, but tell them some more about yourself.
I'm a teacher, and I'm a mother, and I am a grandmother. I'm also a widow. I had the most wonderful big bear of a husband who died of kidney cancer many years ago. But I have 6 children, 3 biological blondes and 3 adopted brunettes, and I am so proud of them all. I'm down to the last 2 children at home, but one is a young adult, and the other just graduated from high school.
Yay!
So I see an empty nest in the near future.
Oh, yeah.
And grandbaby number 15 is due in December.
Oh, good. Well, I've got a super big family, too, so I can understand it.
Oh.
I don't know. I think she's going to give you a run for your money.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Okay. But, they aren't all up there, are they?
They are not. They are actually down in the lower 48, except for 3. I'm leaving 3 beautiful little redheads up here in North Pole. And that's going to leave a big hole in my heart. But they're already saving up miles for airline tickets for Grandma to come visit.
That's the good news.
And the other trade-off is I love to garden, and there's a huge list, and it keeps growing by the day of things I'm going to be able to grow in northwest Missouri that I can't grow up here. So I'm getting very excited.
The growing season is very short up there.
It's very short. It's very intense because of the daylight. You can grow incredible cabbage up here.
Ah.
But tomatoes are pretty
hard. When I was there, they said there's a lot of fruits and vegetables that won't grow up there.
There are a lot. Melons, you really have to have a heated greenhouse for melons.
Mm. Uh-huh. So it's going to be an adventure for you.
Very big adventure.
Why are you moving to Missouri?
Well, one of my boys and his family owned a home in Maryville, Missouri, which is a college town. Lived there for a number of years, and we would visit them. And since then, they've moved to Oregon, but the home is sat empty. So I have the wonderful opportunity to live in that home and fixer-upper it. And hopefully get it on the market so that it sells. And then the kids want Grandma out in Oregon.
Oh,
so I may be there for 2 years in Missouri, or I may be there the rest of my life, but I'm going to enjoy every minute of it because one of the things I dearly love about Missouri is fireflies, which do not happen on the West Coast.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought they were anywhere that there was.
They do not. I don't know why they don't live in the West Coast. We even kidnapped some 1 year when we visited in Maryville, but they died after a few days.
Oh.
Are you planning on going to be a teacher down here when you come down to Missouri?
Probably just part time, but yes, I'm also very busy. I've collected enough incredible accounts for a second book on space time slips, and that's a priority with me because it's such a fascinating, amazing subject. And I want to throw in quilting, of course.
Well, that's what I was going to tell everybody. Now you're starting a second career as an author.
I hope it becomes that. What I do know is I have thoroughly enjoyed compiling Twitters and sharing these accounts because it just blindsided me when I first learned about them. I didn't even know what they were. I was teaching at a high school in Fairbanks a few years ago and was teaching some English classes. Decided for October, which is a wild and crazy month anyway with Halloween, that we would, sorry, spring allergies, we would do short stories having to do with allegedly true ghost stories of the far north. So I went to the local Noel Wien Library in Fairbanks, checked out a ton of books on Alaskan ghost stories and read through all of them, picking and choosing fascinating tales for my students in our English unit that month. And I came across this account, which was in no way, shape, or form a ghost story. And it was actually my first introduction to what I would call a time slip. And then I realized something that happened in my own life as a young wife and mother, that this put a different spin on than anything I had ever thought before. So, would it be appropriate to share that first time slip I came across?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, what it was it was an experience that happened to some tourists. They'd been on a luxury cruise starting in Washington State and gone into the fjords, gone through Skagway, and ended up in Anchorage. And what happened was they'd stopped at the old Anchorage Hotel. We're doing some shopping in the gift shop for grandchildren, and Mrs. Smith decided at one point she'd better use the restroom. So she excused herself from her husband and the other couple they'd hooked up with on the cruise ship, and she made her way to the restroom at the old hotel, which was built in the 1930s but then renovated in the late 1900s. Well, she came back, and she grabbed her lady friend by the arm and said, "You've got to come see this. This is so cool. They have taken the restroom, and they've made it totally retro like it would have been in the 1930s. There are gas lights, oak stalls, cotton towels to dry your hands on. It's just charming." And when they re-entered the restroom she'd been in, it was not like that at all. It was totally modern. It was sleek. It was metal. It was hand blow dryers and metal stalls and marble floors. And she was just shocked, because she knew she was a sane, rational person and wasn't on drugs or drinking. And she had experienced this, but she didn't know what it was. And I thought, as I'm reading her account, that isn't a ghost story.
No.
That has nothing at all to do with ghosts. What did that woman just experience? And as time went on, I started looking for these things, or they actually just fell in my lap from other books I had read. From my past, I recalled things that people had written and experienced from books I was coming across after I read Mrs. Smith's account. And then I thought back to that experience I had had as a young wife and mother, because these experiences are not just time slips, they can also be space slips. And it all gets into physics, which is kind of a mind-boggling topic that will cross our eyes. But it is such a physical thing, which physics is the place to go to try to explain how they can be. And how they can be, we still can't quantify at this point in our progress. Someday we will, I'm sure of it. But in the meantime, I thought back to when I was a young wife and mother. I grew up in Oregon, Portland, Oregon area. And my husband and I loved to go down to the Oregon coast, which is just what my parents had done when we were growing up. It's just a little over an hour to get to the Oregon coast from Portland. Beautiful drive down the Sunset Highway. You get to Cannon Beach and Seaside and all the wonderful beaches along the Oregon coast. They're a lot wilder than the California beaches because it's usually windy and cold, and they have sneaker waves on the Oregon coast, which can really pull a person under, so you have to be very careful. But we still loved to spend time there. And we had an uncle who owned a little home in Wheeler, which is at the far north end of the Oregon coast. And he just let family stay there for free. So it was wonderful for a young family on a tight budget. And we'd go down there. And since I was a little child, my specialty was agates. No rhyme or reason to it. I just was fascinated by those translucent little jewels that we call agates, and I used to collect them from the time I could walk. I collected them and didn't have too many big ones in my collection. They were all mostly the size of a shriveled pea.
Mm-hmm.
But one three-day weekend when we were down there camping, one of the things we loved to do was to find new roadside beaches that we'd never been to before. And you can imagine how easy that is. You just get on the old highway 30 going south and turn right on every road you find, because that's going to hit the Pacific Ocean.
Right.
And if there was, it wasn't private in any way, we would take the children down and we would explore. And of course, always in the back of my mind was, would I ever, ever, ever find an agate on the Oregon peaches, which are so picked over. And one day, it was a beautiful sunny day when we started out. We found a new road not far from Wheeler, turned right, went down the road, and it immediately hit the ocean. There were a row of houses, little bungalows, on the left side of the road as you're going south, and on the right side, it was smack dab against the ocean. In fact, there really wasn't beach. There were just huge boulders. Like maybe they were losing ground, and at one point they had bolstered the loss of ground by adding boulders along there. So we got out, and by the time we'd gone down that little lane and found this beach, it had turned very blustery and dark and cold, and so we all put on coats and hats and thought, well, it'll give the children exercise climbing over the boulders. Maybe they'll have a good nap that afternoon. We can read a good book or something. So we let the children go exploring, and I got out, and I hadn't climbed over too many boulders when I looked down and realized that in the little bits of sand, maybe a square foot of sand now and then that peeked through the boulders, there were agates. And they weren't just any agates. They were agates the size of a ripe plum. They
Wow.
were the biggest agates I'd ever seen in my life outside of rock museums in Oregon. So by the time we got done at that beach, I had a bucket full of plum-sized agates, and I was in heaven. The children thought Mom had gone nuts, but I was having a blast. Well, we headed back to the house and had to head back to Portland the next morning. And the next summer, we went back to the house in Wheeler, and the first thing on our list was to go back to that beach. But we were never able to find the beach again. And I just assumed my husband and I were both total idiots. I mean, how could you not find that beach again? You
right.
get on Highway 30, turn left going south, and turn right at every road you come across. But mm-hmm. we could never find that road again.
Wow.
And I really did just chalk it up to us being distracted parents, and who knows. But after I read this woman's account of going into a place which no longer existed, I thought, I wonder if that could have been what I experienced,
mm-hmm.
which was not a shift in time, but it was a shift in place. And the more I've collected accounts, the more I do believe that we were the fortunate recipients of a shift in place. So that's how
it's kind of like what we call shifting into another dimension.
Right. I was just going to say that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I still continue to find it, these experiences labeled by so many different names, people trying to make sense of them. Mm-hmm. And that's how I came up with Twitters. It's really an acronym. As a special ed teacher, we're all about acronyms. Everything becomes shortened. Special ed becomes SPED. evaluation summaries become ethers.
Yeah, that's what I was going to read off the back of the book here.
Oh,
what Twitters is. You know, you say time slips, time warp, temporal displacement, time jumps, time travel, time fabric ruptures, time ribbons or strings, time storms, time slippages, time tears, alternative realities, leapfrogging. But you say you lump them all together under the acronym Twitters, the jumble meaning time warp displacement, with a pinch of slip thrown in, and you came up with the word Twitters then.
And I still think it's a good one, and I'm still coming across with other terms. Just 2 days ago, I came across with a term where some folks were explaining what they experienced by calling it a dimensional anomaly. But I think space-time slip or Twitter, it really wraps it all up.
Uh-huh.
It covers it all in a silly term that's easy to remember.
Yeah. Well, have you ever read Fate magazine?
Oh, yes.
Because
I have
been reading,
I've been reading that
since the early 50s. I had such a collection that I gave them to Phyllda Scaldi because she didn't have any of the earlier copies. But if you're familiar with that, there are lots and lots of these stories where where they've gone somewhere, they stayed at a hotel, and then the next time they went back, there wasn't a hotel there. It would be a real old hotel.
Yeah.
Or they stopped to get gas when they're lost and they're out of gas. And there's... the gas is very cheap.
Yeah.
Then they go back and they can't find that again. But it's amazing. It's like, in my work, we call it going back and forth between dimensions.
Uh-huh.
That we have a foot in one or the other, and you can't tell the difference. They're so much alike.
Well, they are. And it really goes back to Einstein and his theories on relativity. He was the first one to identify that time and space are not separate. They are one single fabric. And that's what it is, space-time. Space-time.
Uh-huh.
And it all exists. It's all there for the taking. If we just knew how to purposely tap into it, that would be fascinating. On my 3,500-mile trip with a U-Haul hauling my car with two dogs and three cats in it, I would love to have a space-time anomaly where I could go to a gas station and pay $1.25 for gasoline instead of over $4 a gallon.
And but, then only take a few hours to get there.
Oh, wouldn't that even be better?
Yeah, I've heard cases of that where they get there a lot faster than it should take.
Exactly.
And, you know, there's a lot of these time things. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of our listeners will probably identify with these things, too. But it's raining real hard here right now, so it may be making a noise on the phone. But, you know, there's so much of that that happens, and I get tons of emails, and they always say, and I've got to tell you of this strange story. And they've gone through towns, and the town doesn't exist when they go back. All kinds of weird stuff.
Oh, I would love to hear all of their accounts.
Mm-hmm.
I've written about some of them in my books because I write about dimensions.
Uh-huh.
And when you're doing it, they don't really think about it except it's a little strange, but they don't realize what they're in the middle of.
Well, and that's what I was wondering. I had something happened one time, and now I'm like, I want to be aware of everything that happens, and so I'm, after reading your book, I was like, I wonder how aware we can be. I think they probably happen a lot more than we think, and if we just be paying attention to it. But I had a situation where, and you called it, and I'd never heard anybody else say this, and I read the book, I was like, oh my God, there it is, it's the instant replay.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And I was asleep, and my daughter came into the room, and she's like, Mom, I don't feel good. And you know, and I was like, okay, well, go into the restroom. I'll be there in a minute. And I just figured I must have gone back to sleep. And then a couple minutes later, she comes in the room, Mom, I don't feel good. And I'm like, did you just come in here? And she's like, no.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you sure you didn't just come in here a couple minutes ago? Mom, I don't feel good.
That was definitely instant replay.
Right. And I kept going after. I'm like, what was that about? What was important about that minute that it had to replay, you know?
Isn't that funny?
The needle got stuck on the record.
Right, something, yeah. So I've always wondered, what was it? Was there something significant about that 1 minute?
No, I don't think so, because most of the
daughter there was.
I don't, yeah, maybe it had something to do with her wanting me or needing me or something. Mom!
Yeah. But most of the cases people tell me about are very simple. They're nothing earth-shaking, and they just realize it because there's a little something different out of there, you know. But most of us, what I found in my work is we're constantly doing this. We're just not aware of it. Unless
I can believe
that. Thing will stand out, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, like me, most people think, I was just nuts.
Right.
When
you explain it away.
Something.
Like that one would have been so easy for me to just say, oh, I just, you know, I don't know, I was dreaming or something. In fact, you know, but then it's like, but why did it do it exactly like that? So either I was having precognition or it was instant replay of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, either way, it's something different. So.
Either way, it was something special.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The caller.
Oh, the caller? Okay, go ahead. Is there a caller there? Hello?
This is Anita.
Oh, okay, because sometimes when we hear a beep, that means there's a caller online.
Oh.
She thought she heard a
I
beep.
I thought I heard one. Okay.
But it's pouring down rain here, so it's hard to tell.
I'm hearing noises, too. I hear things.
Okay, but I know, you know, I have read a lot of Brad Steiger's work, too, and he has books. He wrote, what is it, over 140 books, and most of them do deal with this kind of weird phenomena, and he's a collector in that way.
Uh-huh.
And he has some, I'm not sure if you had the identical cases in your book or not, where the person would be in one country, and then the next, you know, so many minutes later, they're in another country.
Uh-huh.
And
only have one account of that much of a bilocation in Twitters.
Yep.
So Mr. Steiger, who's been at this a lot longer than I bet he has some incredible accounts.
Oh, yeah. He goes way back. I think he first started publishing his books in the 60s.
Well, whatever that is, that would be the way to do it, the way to travel.
Way to travel. But these were back in time, I think, even before they had airplanes. There was no way they could do it, and so that's why they were proven that they were in one place, and then they were in another country halfway across the world. But
exactly.
So there's a lot of weird stuff out there that people don't know anything about, you know.
And I hope this brings more awareness between... There have been a lot of books, and it sounds like your books also have touched on and included groups of accounts of space-time slips or Twitters. And I think there'll be a lot more in the years to come as people become more aware of this experience.
Yeah. Well, see, a lot of times, too, they're afraid to tell anyone. They'll think they're crazy or something.
Exactly. A year ago when I was teaching summer school, one of my aides came up to me as I was talking about some of the accounts I'd come across, and he shared with me something that he had experienced as a child, which was definitely a time slip to the past in their family home. But he never shared it with anyone else before in his life because he was embarrassed by it.
Wow.
Nothing to be embarrassed because it happens. It's just we don't notice it or we don't recognize it, you know.
Well, it's just not
exactly.
Our box of reality.
Yeah, she said it's not in our box of reality. That's the problem.
There you go.
But I remember one example that I give at my lectures is this person, I think they were in an apartment house or office building or something. When they came down in the elevator and walked out on the street, they were 50 years ago.
Uh-huh.
All the cars, the clothing style, everything was 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he said the funny thing was the people didn't seem to notice her, but she was like she slipped back in time that far. And she began to get scared because she's wondering how is she going to get back.
Yeah.
And the only way she did it was she finally went back into that building, took the elevator up again, and everything came back to now.
Uh-huh. That was a big fear I had in hindsight. What if we had stayed on that beach?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
What if we camped next to it, and we'd never gotten back to our reality?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard stories like that. That they said the same thing. What would happen if they didn't? What if she had stayed on that street and not got back up into the elevator? Would
exactly.
that happen? Or I wonder if everything would return to normal when you go to sleep at night. You know.
I know. What a great question. And I have many thoughts on it. But of some of the accounts that I've compiled for a second volume, should that happy day ever happen, is accounts where people actually describe seeing an opening, which they describe as a wormhole.
Mm,
like there'll
okay.
be a somewhat circular opening, and it's not light. It's not like having a near-death experience going to the light. It's fairly dark. And these two sisters, were visiting their grandmother in Southern California, and the city they were in had a huge Goodwill store, which was their big fund. Grandma would give them each $5, and they'd go in up to the second floor and shop for purses and skirts and whatever they wanted because it was so cheap. $5 goes a long way in Goodwill. And both of the girls, although they'd never talked about it till they were adults, noticed that one wall on the second floor in the Goodwill had disappeared and become this big circular hole. One girl saw another building through the hole, and it appeared that she was on the ground floor. The older sister just saw the hole, and although neither of them were next to each other and didn't realize they were both seeing this at the same time, they both had the great good sense to not go into the hole and backed away from it, and years later discussed and were shocked to find out they had both seen that.
Yeah,
but
what would have happened if they'd gone in?
Yeah,
okay,
for traveling.
Anita, we have a caller this time. I did hear a loud beep.
Okay.
Is somebody there?
Well, I want her to finish her story.
The story just finished that the two sisters grew up decades later. They were talking, and the topic of going to grandma's that summer and going into the Goodwill came up, and they started sharing out of the blue what they had each experienced and were absolutely shocked to discover that they weren't the only person in the world who had seen that, what they categorized as a wormhole open up.
Oh.
To another time, another place.
That would really be something to find other people that...
Uh-huh. Well, it's like an opening into another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is there a caller there?
Yes,
okay.
There is.
Okay, what do you want to ask?
I have a story about one of those. I think it was one of those.
one of those things?
One of those weird
One of those. I'm not really sure. I was going to see if you could tell me if it was or if it was a different thing. I'm blind, so I was riding the bus. I was student teaching, and the bus driver forgot to tell me when to get off. And so I thought, okay, it's been too long, and I said, hey, can I get off because I think you took me too far? And he goes, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot. And yeah, real sorry, uh-huh. So I got off, and I was lost because I had no idea what was on that street that far down. And so I had a seeing eye dog, and I asked her to find a door, and she did. And I went in, and there was this organ music playing, and this man said, did you come to view the body? I said, no. Not really, but I guess I could, if that's what you're supposed to do. And he said, well, do you know the person that's deceased? And I said, not yet, but I just really came in because I'm lost, actually. And I wondered if you could tell me your address. And he said, address? I said, yeah. I said, maybe we could look it up in the phone book. He said, phone book? Yeah, I said, do you have a phone? And he said, I don't think so. It's kind of, it has a thing you can pick up with a cord on it and put it up to your ear, and then it has a dial, and you there's numbers on it. He goes, or maybe you have a newer one, and it's got buttons that have numbers. And he goes, no, I don't believe I have anything like that. Said, okay, let's just do it a different way then. Let's see. Can you, did you know where a school might be from here? No, not really. Okay, well, let's just talk then, because I'm late already. So we were talking, and he'd been working there for like 50 years, and he loved it, and he loved being the last person that got to give the person special treatment and everything like that. And he was very, you know, well, he respected the family and the person that was gone, just like they were, you know, still here. And I asked him his name. It was Bartholomew Higginbotham. And we talked quite a bit. We talked quite a while, I thought. And then I said, I guess I better try to go to school because I'd rather stay here, but I probably need to show up sometime. Would you mind walking me to the door? Because now I can't remember where it is. And I actually did, but I wanted to touch him. So he came around the counter, and he stood there by me, and I grabbed what I thought was an arm, and it was a suit arm with nothing in it.
Oh, my God.
And I said, oh, I like your suit. He said, oh, I've had it for years and years and years, maybe 40 years. I don't remember. I can't remember when I got it. It's so old. Well, it doesn't feel old to me. It feels nice and comfortable. And I was trying not to freak out with this arm with nothing in it. It was moving. It was walking, you know. And I was like, okay. I said, you can't go out of here, can you? You can't leave, can you? And he said, oh, no, I wouldn't want to leave. I have to stay in here and make sure that everything's taken care of and no one comes in and disturbs anybody. And I said, oh, okay. Well, just stay in here then, and I'll go on and try to find the school. So when I got outside, there were these kids. Ooh, you went in the funeral home? And I said, ooh, yes. And I touched the body, and I'm going to touch you and get it all over you. You better get to school right now. So they started running to the school, and I could find the school then because we just followed. But later, when I got someone to take me down that street to look for that place, it was not there.
Wow.
And then I found out there used to be a Higginbotham funeral home long, long time ago in that town.
Oh, my
God. I just had a call.
So I didn't know if that was one of those or not. What do you think it was a Twitter?
That sounds like a combination ghost story and a back into the
Yeah,
past.
It was a ghost story, but it was also like another time I was in.
It sounds like Twilight Zone to me.
Yeah, going back in the time. Twilight Zone.
Well, it was definitely, it was Twilight to me. I wanted to be in bed. It was early in the morning, and I was like, oh.
Well, what but a remarkable experience, though, and you handled it very well.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess I could have been more, for some reason, you know, the first part of it where he didn't get the phone and the phone book part, I thought, okay, he doesn't sound like he's not all there, you know. So I must be somewhere where they don't have phones all of a sudden. So let's just not talk about those. And I said, do you have light bulbs? And he said, well, I don't think I have any extra ones.
Any extra ones?
Oh, well, you know, I just wondered, since I can't tell, like, if you know, if you had candles or what. Uh-huh. But I think he did have light bulbs. But it was really... I wish I'd have gone and viewed the body. I wish I'd have gone further in after I found out it was, you know... I wondered if there was really a body there.
Oh, my God.
After I said no, well, I couldn't kind of change my mind, and I don't think you were supposed to view the body if he didn't know the person.
Oh.
At least in his opinion, you know. But I kind of wished I had of.
How did your dog handle the encounter?
Oh, she, you know, the thing is, we actually saw a lot of odd things. We still do. All my dogs see a lot of unusual odd things with me, and she wasn't one bit disturbed.
Oh, but good.
She seemed to think it was fine.
So you
I mean, you know, she didn't
react.
Try to get me away or, you know, dogs don't think ghosts are weird.
Yeah.
But I think
or at least my dogs don't.
If it was anything dangerous, the dog would have reacted different. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if it was dangerous, she would have definitely, but he wasn't. He was just
so it was
really
perfectly normal to the dog.
Well, they see him.
Yeah, and she probably could see the part I couldn't, you know, like, he probably looked like a person to her. Like,
yeah,
I didn't,
very likely.
I thought, I bet he has a hat on, but if I touch it, you know, there's no head under there, it might fall off. And then I'd have to pick it up and what, you know. So I didn't. I thought, I bet you he has an old hat. And
yeah,
since I had that,
have a reason
you know,
to
arm,
freak out then, I think.
It was really, in time it slowed down. I wasn't that late to school, after all.
Oh,
because
wow.
I thought I'd talk to him for about, you know, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
We talked about all kinds of stuff.
I think
dogs,
he definitely
children.
Had a FaceTime slip.
Yeah, that definitely
well,
shows
the
time
interesting
being
one.
Condensed here, too. Well, you know, time doesn't exist anyway, so you
oh, right.
really,
and I was really
in and
happy.
Out of time.
And the kids weren't there when I went in. That was another thing. When I went in, the kids weren't there, because I would have just asked the kids, you know, where the school, how far down, how many blocks or whatever. But the kids, they weren't there. I just went up those little steps and found the door and... Well, first I knocked on it because I wasn't sure what it was, and then I thought, oh, well, I'll just go in. And then that music, you know, I thought, who's playing that organ? It sounds so creepy.
I think this shows that probably, I think the listeners can identify with this. They probably all had weird things happen, and they didn't know what to think of it at the time.
Well, I kind of wondered,
guys,
like, okay, if I could see... Like, if I wasn't blind, would I have found that or not?
Right.
I don't know.
So anyway, guys, the ones who are listening out there, you're perfectly normal. You can see that.
Yeah. If you met Mr. Higginbotham, you're just fine.
That is
well, I hope you treasure that experience because that really is remarkable.
Oh, I do. Uh-huh. It's one of my favorite... Favorite. In fact, it's probably my favorite college experience that
wow.
I can come up with. Yeah, I think so. Doesn't have a thing to do with college, but, you know.
It's wild and crazy.
It was very, very fascinating to me at the time. And, you know, for some reason, I didn't even think it was that strange. I just thought, gosh, I'm so happy I met that man. I'll have to go by. And I told him, maybe I'll make some cookies and bring it to you sometime. He said, oh, that would be so lovely. I haven't had cookies in years. I thought, dang. And I couldn't. I made the cookies, and then we tried to find the place, and it wasn't there. And so, you know, he didn't get his cookies. I felt bad, but I tried.
Wow.
Well, thanks for sharing that. That was really special.
You're welcome. I just... kind of wondered what kind of experience you thought it might be, but I thought
it was
sort of a mixture.
A time flip. It was a Twitter.
Yeah,
it was.
<You got one.
laughs> Well, I think
thank you very much
of
for
a different kind of Twitter.
You.
Well, we're
a little bit
world.
Of a different, yeah, Halloween Twitter maybe.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a good one for Halloween. Okay.
Yeah, it is. It is a good one for Halloween. Yeah. And I thought, everybody's always telling me to write a book, and I always say, oh, I can't think of any. But that would be a good story to put in there.
That would be an amazing story to put in.
Mm-hmm.
I was really glad I didn't try to hold his hand, because it wouldn't have been there yet. That would have been, I would have to say, did you lose your hand in the war or something? So it's good I grabbed his arm and kind of squeezed it a little bit, because I thought, I wonder how skinny this guy is. Well... you know, I didn't squeeze it all the way, but I squeezed it enough to there was no bones in there.
Okay, thanks a lot for sharing, anyway.
You're welcome. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. But, Anita, every time I go on you know, I go on the Coast to Coast radio show a lot.
Oh, and yes.
The one there, you talk all night long.
Yeah.
On there. And on that one, you know, every time I do it and I bring up these things about dimensions and how you can slip in and out of them, we get so many emails. They're very weird. It's really strange stuff that people send us.
Uh-huh.
And I write about some of them. But
uh-huh.
one that I think was my favorite was when I did the show, there's people said there were three women in Memphis, and because you're on so long all night, they didn't want to stay up. So what they do, would they would tape the show. And it was one of those, what do you call, the long playing tapes they had where you could have the same tape going all night long. So they taped the show. Well, just a minute. Let me finish the story first, and then we get another caller. But the next morning, they said, the one woman said when she got up, she wanted to listen to the show, there was a game on, a sports game on there instead. And she said, well, what's that all about? Then the next woman said she got the same thing on her tape. It was a game being played instead of the show, the Coast to Coast show.
Huh.
But the third person got the show. And they said all three of them, on all three tapes, they could hear them, you know, when they interrupt and give the call letters of the station, they had the same station. And they called and they said, what happened? And this one said, oh, we're not going to carry that show anymore. But the third person got the show. So it's like, I like to say, maybe she was in another dimension where the show existed, and they mm-hmm. were in one where it didn't exist.
Yep.
And it was a few weeks later, they came to a lecture that I was giving in Memphis, and they said, there were three elderly ladies, and they said, we came all this way just to tell you it really did happen, and we have the tapes to prove it. So that was a weird one.
Okay, wow, they have hard evidence.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got another caller. I heard another beep, and we only got about five more minutes. So let's see what this caller wants. Okay, who is there? Hello?
Okay, keep talking then.
All right, maybe they hung up when I... What?
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We only got about 5 minutes. What do you want to say?
Well, I just wanted to say that I feel like I'm not attached to anything. I'm not really here. Like I've died, and I don't know I've died. Like on that show where they said he see dead people, and Bruce Willis was dead, but he didn't know it.
Yeah, The Sixth Sense.
Yeah, because It's weird. It's just like I feel like, you know, I don't want anything really, you know. If I'm just I just give service, and I'm, you know, I know I'm here to learn self love, but I just don't understand this feeling, you know.
Well,
I can't seem to attach to anything.
Well, are you eating and still doing the things like a...
Oh, yeah, no, I listen to you guys. I listen to Abraham Hicks. I recite and write my stories about what I really want to happen, which is mm-hmm. to live by the beach and have a wonderful life and do the things I love. I'm pretty positive most of the time,
uh-huh.
but, I mean, you could put what I own in a box. I'm like, I just turned 56, and... It's like, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it's depression or what. But I really appreciate you guys.
Well, you're probably, we can say you're probably normal out there. So don't worry about it. Right now, you know, we're going through a very strange time with the shifting of the dimensions and the frequencies
yeah.
and vibrations. That could be
yeah.
what you're feeling. And I'd
Are
be
you
willing
think?
To bet it'll pass, yeah. that it won't last very long. I think it'll pass, and you'll start feeling normal again.
Okay. And well, I heard you say that you do a lot of service for others, and you're not really
yes.
into material possessions. You're my hero.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're not a cat.
Well,
see, that's just...
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Dolores, I just wanted to say, I know you don't have a lot of time, I just wanted to say, like, I feel like I've known you before.
A lot of people tell me that. They look at my picture in the books and say they think they know me.
Yeah, your voice seems so familiar. so comforting. I don't know what that is, but it's a good thing, right?
Oh, yeah, it's a good thing. But
okay.
Who knows? Anything is possible. We're living
That's
in a Twitter we're living in a Twitter world where everything is possible.
That's right.
Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to me. I appreciate it. I enjoyed the stories and everything.
Okay. Well, Anita, we're coming. The hour has flown by, really.
It really has.
It has.
Now, if anybody wants to contact you, what's your contact information?
My email is ALOHolmes, that's like Sherlock Holmes, @ gmail.com.
Okay, because I know you're going to be moving, and so that's the only way anybody can get a hold of you right now is with your email.
Right, right, and yes.
That would be the abbreviation.
And I'd love to hear from folks and what they've experienced and any questions they have. And I am a neophyte in this area, and I love to listen to everything that you've talked about. I'm like a big sponge just soaking it all in.
Uh-huh. And Anita is going to be at our conference in June the 10th to the 12th, in Rogers, Arkansas, the Transformation Conference. And we're going to have wonderful speakers, and it's going to go on for 3 days, and it's going to be bigger than ever. So Anita will be there, and she'll be talking about her book and telling some more stories.
More Twitters.
Twitters. Okay.
I know, because I know you have so many more. We barely cracked it, the surface of it.
There's so much information, and, you know, this has been my life's work, all the weird and the strange and the unusual, for 40 years. And so, yeah, you are just getting into it, and there's a lot out there that nobody understands. So welcome to the Twitter world.
Thank you.
You have a great way of explaining things, Anita. So that's where I feel you'd be great in service. This would really help people to understand this.
Yeah.
I hope it does. I'm still feeling my way, too, but it's a wonderful journey.
Mm-hmm.
When I read the manuscript and you submitted it, I said, Anita must be a wonderful teacher because she has such an easy way of explaining difficult concepts.
Right.
So I imagine your students probably love you.
I think they do. We have a lot of fun together. I have very high expectations for them, but we have fun getting there.
Okay. All right. So if you want to contact Anita, it's
ALO Holmes.
ALOHOLMES. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody wants more information, you can check on our website. The information about the conference and also about Anita and her books are on our website. And it's Ozark Mountain Publishing, and it's abbreviated on the website, OZARKMT.com. Or if you're overseas, it's OZARKMT.com. And we're really looking forward to seeing you, Anita, at the conference.
Thank you.
It'll be here before we know it. You're not even going to get settled in, I bet, before you have to go. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to have to sign off now. So,
thank you.
And thanks for being on the show tonight.
You bet.
Okay. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye-bye.